This is Jay Sekulow. President Biden signs off on a massive Democrat wish list for 2023. What we can do to stop it.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. Well, the $1.7 trillion government spending bill has been signed. We're going to talk about all of this today, what it means to you and your family, what we can do to stop some of this. I mean, like the IRS issue, everybody knows the 87,000 IRS agents. Not a very popular move, I might add, among Republicans and Democrats, quite frankly. And the idea that this has become a focal point of government spending at a time when the border's out of control shows you that where these interests are. But my favorite quote of the since the president signed it yesterday, the $1.7 trillion spending bill, the White House issues this statement. Professor Harry Hutchinson's in here with me. The White House said that the bill, quote, caps off a year of historic bipartisan progress for the American people. And I'm thinking, what bipartisan progress? Most of these bills were passed by, I mean, this particular bill, the spending bill, the omnibus bill, was passed with a lot of compromise, but it wasn't like people went to it thinking this is great bipartisan relations. There's a lot in there that conservatives don't like.
Absolutely. So implicit in the White House statement are two massive lies. First, that the bill was indeed bipartisan. That's untrue. Number two, the White House suggests that the bill contains or promotes progress for the American people. Again, that's untrue. Instead, the bill promotes special interest groups. So, for instance, there are billions, certainly hundreds of millions of dollars in the bill for so-called green energy that virtually no one wants. There's no money in the bill, for instance, to protect the U.S. border while we are indeed protecting Jordan, Tunisia, and other countries.
In fact, to the contrary, there's language in the bill that says do not use this money that goes to Customs and Border Patrol for border protection. Now, we're going to talk about all this. You know, we had on Congressman Tenney when we hosted Sean Hannity's broadcast last week, who's got there's going to be legislative moves coming up. In 2023 is going to be better than 2022. And we're going to see with a divided government, then you're able to stop things. Doesn't mean you could get things, new things done, but you can stop things. You're kind of it's like you've been empowered defensively. So I think you're going to see some of that happen. I think, for instance, the 87,000 IRS agents probably doesn't happen if our government affairs teams and the American people speak out enough about this. So there's going to be spending issues that go forward. And Harry, as you said during the break, before we went on air, rather, there also could be legislation that the White House really needs, and then conservatives can tack on something they really want.
Precisely. And hopefully, the House of Representatives, led by Republicans, will act strategically, and they will actually try to push their own initiatives through when the president needs some help. Unfortunately, the Senate, led by Mitch McConnell, has not done, in my opinion, a great job in pushing forward the priorities of the American people.
I want to hear from you. We're going to be joined by Rick Grenell coming up. We've got Mike Pompeo in the broadcast today, and this is the last day of radio for the year. And this is a big day for us. The next 2 days are our biggest. So we want you to support the work of the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign, and any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for it. I'm going to encourage you to do that today and tomorrow. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. It's really important that we hear from you on this. ACLJ.org. I also have a question. Whether it's this broadcast that you appreciate, whether it's our work at the Supreme Court, our work for pro-life crisis pregnancy centers, our work for the persecuted church, we want to hear from you as to what you think and what you appreciate about the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. Like I said, it could be this broadcast. It could be our international work. Our Supreme Court work, whatever it might be, fighting in Congress. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to take your calls at 800-684-3110. What do you appreciate about the work of the ACLJ? We'll take those calls when we come back again. 800-684-3110. $7 trillion government spending bill signed by the president in St. Croix to keep the government going. All kinds of stuff in there you don't want. Although, as the report we just sent, showed on our social media, if you're watching on Rumble or Facebook or YouTube, that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame did get $1 million. And frankly, I mean, I know that's pork, but I'm a rock and roll guy, so it's kind of like, you know, I feel like I got something out of this spending. But Rick, they're promoting this. Rick Renauer, senior advisor for international security and national affairs. Rick, they're promoting this as, quote, capping off a year of historic bipartisan progress for the American people. And I'm thinking, what world are, why would you even say that when you know you're barely getting these bills through with a lot of compromise and a lot of consternation by conservatives?
Jay, you know the answer. The reason they can say that is because there's no media pushback. And so their lies and distortions are getting completely more blatant. They're telling us that the border is closed. They're telling us that the economy is doing well. And when you don't have a media that's willing to push back on politicians who lie, then the lies get more blatant. And the American people outside of Washington, D.C. see this and they laugh. It's that whole cabal inside Washington, D.C. of lobbyists and politicians and media people who all just sit around. They go to church together. They go to school. Their kids go to school together. They socialize together. They work together. And they are completely in the dark. They don't understand what's going on.
Rick, 98% of what Democratic members requested, 98% they got. The conservatives were saying, you know, one thing we don't want, 87,000 new IRS agents. We'd like 87,000 new Border Patrol agents. But the legislation actually says, hey, none of this money can be used for securing the border. It could be used for processing unlawful entrants, but not securing the border. So that's where the priorities are here.
Yeah. And look, we have to go back and say elections have consequences. People have to get much more involved because the Democrats control the House, the Senate, and the White House. They get to say anything they want. The idea that there are moderate Democrats pushing back is a joke. I just have to say Mark Kelly, who ran a whole race last year pretending like he was a voice of reason and a moderate, has totally duped the people of Arizona. It is not true. He votes with Biden all of the time, case in point.
Yeah, so does Joe Manchin. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, most of the time, Joe Manchin, Senator Manchin, is voting with the Biden administration. So, yeah, they try to play this independent thing, but it's not really true. Interesting here, we've asked people to call in. If you're a supporter of the ACLJ, what is it that you really appreciate about what we're doing? And we're taking those calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Dan is calling on line one. Dan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to say what I appreciate about Jay Sekulow and Jay Sekulow's team is the fact that you show it's right and good to fight for what is right, not necessarily what is popular. From the grassroots all the way up to the Supreme Court, it works if you stick with it. We're not alone. We have a voice.
You know, Dan, I appreciate that. Rick, when we started this work almost 40 years ago, that was really the goal of what Dan said, was to be a voice for those that, you know, collectively you can speak much louder than you can individually. And in the courts, it was getting our viewpoint across. And like I said, we're going to talk about this in the next segment. We've got a major case at the Supreme Court of the United States on the religion clause. I mean, it could be, Harry and I are going to explain. I mean, it could have dramatic, dramatic consequences. But Rick, when you look at the issues, and you've said this about the work of the ACLJ and your involvement with it now, that is, we are able to, whether it's the government affairs team in Washington, whether it's filing what we did yesterday, a FOIA lawsuit against the FBI for using two. Now, you were the director of national intelligence, 2 million search terms on 3 million Americans. And the government comes out and says, oh, by the way, oops, at least four of those Americans should not have had their access taken or the information taken unless the government, that was them, the Department of Justice, got a FISA warrant, which means you'd have to go to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. Now, what's interesting about that, if they're saying there's four, I assume there's 4,000. I mean, I just don't take them at their word on this. But the ability to fight this back for people in, you know, we got calls coming in from Nevada, Michigan, New England, wherever it might be. The fact of the matter is, being able to fight back, being able to speak out, being able to address the issues on the broadcast really makes a difference in Washington, but also around the globe. And you do deal with issues around the globe.
Well, look, it's not just complaining. And I know a lot of us are in the business of complaining and trying to make policies better. But what I love about ACLJ is that we're actually taking action. And this is something that we do Monday through Friday, every single day. And I know at the end of the year especially, there are a whole bunch of charities and good organizations that are asking for money. I get that. But one of the reasons why I joined ACLJ is specifically because of the action that we take, not just getting on here and complaining, but using the courts, using public disclosures with very smart lawyers, knowing how to push back and get this information, holding the government to account, taking action, not just sitting here complaining. And I know a lot of organizations like to highlight the problems, but we're trying to go after the solutions. And I think that's a huge difference. I hope people will support us here at the end of the year and that we rise to the priority list of what people need to do.
Well, and that's why we want to hear from you folks. We want to know what your priorities too and what you appreciate about what we're doing at the ACLJ, 1-800-684-3110. But to follow up what Rick said, the fact of the matter is this. Whether it is a complex issue of national security, which we handle lots of, or whether it's a crisis pregnancy center trying to operate in Colorado and the officials in Colorado will not even let the pro-life side make an appearance at a city council meeting, we deployed lawyers and they were able to make the pro-life side got their view in. I don't guarantee results. You can never guarantee results. But you know what I can guarantee you? We're going to be there for the fight. I call it the ministry of presence. Lots of times, you just have to be there. And we deploy lawyers and government affairs officials around the globe, literally around the globe. We got a case right now in Pakistan, folks. A 16-year-old kid becomes a Christian. This is the lowest rung of society in the way that it's set up in Pakistan. And he gets arrested because he was in a discussion with a 27-year-old or 30-year-old Muslim man that where he worked. He's a janitor, our client. He's given the death sentence for this. Now, we're taking it through the Pakistan court systems, but Rick, you were at the UN for a long time, 10 years. We've got the Committee on Arbitrary Detention looking at it right now. If they take the case, I'll tell you our experience has been, as much as the UN is dysfunctional, when the Committee on Arbitrary Detention takes a case, generally the person's not going to be put to death. I mean, that's been our experience. So being able to fight in environments that may not be so friendly, Rick, are also very important. You've been into the UN for, like I said, a decade.
Well, here's the thing that I love about ACLJ as well is that we stick to our lane. If you believe in action and court action and in defending religious liberties around the world, then we're the organization for you. You know, I grew up evangelical Christian, and one of the great things that I love about ACLJ is, you know, recently, as you know, Jay, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, and immediately I had a team of people who contacted me and said, "We're praying for your mom." Yep. This is the organization that I'm a part of, and I couldn't be more proud because we stick to our lane. We look for religious liberties cases. It's not just Christian. It's Christian, Jewish, Muslim. It is religious liberty cases around the world, and we take action. And we're holding the Biden administration to account. So those are the lanes that I believe in. I know our listeners believe in those lanes. That's the focus. If you believe in that focus for an organization, then we should be the ones that you support. And I hope that people will. I know personally, I can tell you the action that we're taking, the work that we're doing is noble.
I'm going to take David's call quickly on line three. David, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay, thanks so much. I've been a broad supporter for you since going back to the late 80s.
Thank you.
I just want to thank you for all your work. Thank you for the petitions that we can be involved in.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being on the front line of all the things that you do, from taking care of Planned Parenthood stuff and pro-life stuff and just giving the opportunity to show my kids your legacy and Christian legacy that goes with that. So thank you so much for all that you do.
David, I appreciate you calling in, and it follows up exactly on Rick's side. I only got a minute here, folks, and I'm glad I was able to take David's call. This is a team effort. We've got a big team here at the ACLJ. You see Jay, you see Harry, you see, you know, Jordan and Logan, but there's a lot of people working here. And of course, Rick is on the broadcast and others. I mean, we've got a big team behind the cameras, in front of the cameras, around the globe. This is where you come in, folks. And Rick just said it. I want to thank you for saying this, Rick. Your support, this is the most critical 2 days of the ACLJ's year. I mean, Rick, when I look, we only got 40 seconds here. This is when it counts, right now. And you said there are a lot of worthy organizations, but we're not afraid. Rick's not afraid. I'm not afraid to ask you for the support for the ACLJ.
I hope that people recognize that the work that we're doing needs to continue, and the only way it continues is through their support.
That's exactly right. We're in a matching challenge campaign. This means any amount. We've got a group of donors that agreed to match whatever you donate. So I want to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org, and make an online gift to the ACLJ. These are the most important 2 days of our year financially. ACLJ.org. Thanks, Rick. We appreciate it. Have a good new year. We're praying for your mom. Folks, we're going to be right back in just a moment. Hey, welcome back. By the way, tomorrow night, New Year's Eve, I made a joke about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame getting $1 million, which that one I didn't kind of object to because I like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But to tie that in, the Jay Sekulow Band is doing what we have done for the last 6 or 7 years, and that is we do a New Year's Eve concert. It's at 8 o'clock. It will be on Facebook, Rumble, YouTube. We encourage you, 8 o'clock Eastern time, to tune in and listen. We got a great new set of songs. We have a live studio audience. There'll be, of course, all of you participating, too. So it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. I want to take a call from Rebecca in New Hampshire on line one. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Rebecca, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I really appreciate especially 3 things that you do, but actually everything you guys do. But I really appreciate your work on the abortion issue. I'm hoping that babies will someday have always a choice to live and never have to succumb to someone else's choice. And then on the border, I really appreciate you guys doing the FOIA request because the fentanyl needs to stop coming through.
100%. Hey, Rebecca, I appreciate you calling in. You know, talking about cases coming up, we've got a huge one, Rebecca, and for all of our listeners, and that is a week from today. Our case, we represent the city of Ocala. It's a religious liberty case, big case, involved a prayer vigil that the city put in place because there was a crime spree going out through the city. And the police and others met with leadership of the community, NAACP, I mean, just a broad variety of folks, pastors, say, what do we need to do? And people suggested a prayer vigil. And a group of people that didn't want that prayer vigil because they might be offended filed a federal lawsuit, and they won. And we've now taken the case to the Supreme Court of the United States. And it's, I would say, Harry, and that case, by the way, is going to be in conference a week from today. 1 week from today, that case is in conference. That means the Supreme Court justices will decide whether they will grant it or not. They could also postpone it. They could review it and say they need more information. They could ask for a brief from the United States. There's a lot of things they could do. But we know it will be before the Supreme Court next week. It's already been what they call placed out to the justices, distributed is the technical term. But Harry, it's this idea that if you're offended at something, you can then file a lawsuit, which applies to no other area of the law. You've got to have a real injury, not, oh, I don't like what I heard. But in the religion cases, it's all different.
I think that's correct. So at least historically, the Supreme Court has taken the position that religious liberty and the free exercise of religion can be shrunk, if you will, by virtue of plaintiffs who claim an Establishment Clause violation. And in this particular case, you have two individuals, Lucinda Hale and Art Rojas, who basically sought to be offended. So they attended an event where city leaders, the city of Ocala's leaders, participated in a prayer vigil. However, I think at the end of the day, they don't have a basis for bringing a claim on Establishment Clause grounds because they sought to be offended.
They it was like they sought out the offense.
Absolutely. And so I think the Supreme Court has an opportunity to destroy the offended observer of doctrine once and for all.
Which applies in no other area of the law. In every other area of the law, if you're going to go to federal court, you've got to have what's called a cognizable real injury. Not, boy, this is offensive to me, which is, you know, you live in a free country. But guess what? Sometimes you're going to be offended.
And so what the plaintiffs are attempting to do in this particular case is they're trying to bootstrap their standing claim so as to constrain the free exercise of religion by citizens of the city of Ocala. And the ACLJ is fighting back, and hopefully the Supreme Court will take this case. Hopefully we will be able to argue against the offended observer doctrine, and hopefully we will prevail in the end.
I will tell you this. We've done a lot of Supreme Court cases. I have argued cases in the 1980s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, and 2020s. And let me tell you something. When you get a Supreme Court case, your organization a little bit turns upside down for three or four months because it's all hands on deck. We're prepared for that right now. We're prepared for that because people like you support the work of the ACLJ. Like I said, whether it's a city council meeting for a crisis pregnancy center or the Supreme Court of the United States or a case in Pakistan, ACLJ is there because of your support for our work at the American Center for Law and Justice. But that is where you come in. So I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. We're in that matching challenge campaign. It's a Supreme Court case we could know as early as next Friday. It'll be after we're on air, but we'll send out a notice if we get word that it is, in fact, going to be heard. Again, ACLJ.org. I'm going to go to Ryan, who's calling Nevada. And we want to take your calls at 800-684-3110. What are the issues that you most appreciate about the work of the ACLJ? Ryan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, what happens if Kevin McCarthy doesn't get the 218 votes next Tuesday?
Boy, what a mess. I mean, you're talking about if the Speaker of the House. So, first of all, we're looking at the House now as a blocking mechanism to legislation that we think is not in the best interest of the American people. And that's a free country. The Republicans have right now 221 seats, roughly. You got a seat in, who knows what's going to happen with that Santos matter up in New York. And Kevin McCarthy right now hasn't gotten a 218. Well, let me tell you what you don't want. You don't want a Democrat becoming the Speaker of the House, but everybody votes, folks. It's not like an automatic thing and just a conference decides. So my view is, I understand why there's some discontent. The fact of the matter is, Kevin McCarthy should be put in place at this point. And I just don't think the risk is worth the risk factor here is just too high. And he's got to negotiate that with his party and the members of Congress. But the risk factor is just too high, Harry. To go on weeks with no speaker would be a disaster.
I think that is precisely correct. But we also must keep in mind the threat. The threat comes from the Biden administration, and the threat comes from the United States Senate,
yep,
that they will try to push through legislation, rules, executive orders that are against the interest of the American people. If the Republicans take full control of the House with a Republican speaker, they can hold hearings. They can expose the misconduct of the Biden administration. And there's plenty of misconduct to go around. I believe that the Republicans basically could launch investigations on January the 3rd, which could last for the next 10 years if they can maintain control of the House. And so we need the Republicans to investigate the Biden administration. The Biden administration continues to fail to act in the best interest of the American people.
In other words, get on with the business of the American people in governing and get through this procedural decision right now on who's going to be your speaker. It's going to be Kevin McCarthy at the end of the day. This is, I understand the exercise here, but I don't get it at this point. So, my encouragement is, get in there and start working and get this part done. Now, folks, this is where you come in. We have an Office of Government Affairs. We've got a team at the Supreme Court. We've got teams deployed throughout the world. We have offices in Pakistan. Your support for the ACLJ makes all of this happen. So I want to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org and support our work. This is the two most important days, today and tomorrow. Remember, tomorrow at 8 o'clock Eastern, the Jay Sekulow Band concert for New Year's Eve, ACLJ.org. We're excited about what's ahead in 2023, but your support right now is really critical at ACLJ.org. We encourage you to do that in the matching challenge. If you want to talk to us in the next half hour and tell us what the ACLJ means to you and what you appreciate, call us at 1-800- 800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the second half hour of the broadcast. We just were talking about the fact that a week from today, the Supreme Court of the United States will be taking up our case for religious freedom, free speech. Huge case involving a prayer vigil in Florida, but affects the entire country. It's a suspended observer standing rule, which is technical, but it allows somebody, I see a Ten Commandments monument, thus I can file a lawsuit. In no other area of the law is that allowed, except in the religion cases. We're trying to end that at the Supreme Court of the United States. At the same time, we were just defending pro-life speakers in Kentucky and won at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit just a week and a half ago. At the same time, 2 days later, one of our lawyers was at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit again on another case involving the same kind of issue of religious freedom on that one. So on and on it goes. But let me tell you what's also, if you go to the ACLJ right now, ACLJ.org, we've got an overview, a 50-state overview of what the laws are on the pro-life fight, and we're engaged in all of these. We have information on what we're doing for these pregnancy resource centers that are being really restricted by a lot of hostile states. We just launched a new page on ACLJ.org called Knowing Your Rights, which gives you information about what your rights are on various topics. As I mentioned, we got a Supreme Court case in conference next Friday. We have just won the Court of Appeals of the Sixth Circuit. We had another argument in the Sixth Circuit. And in 2 weeks, we have one at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit. And we just filed a lawsuit yesterday, and this is a big one, against the FBI for surveilling 3 million Americans, some of which they've already admitted, oh, we shouldn't have just done that without a FISA warrant. We should have gone to court and gotten a warrant. We didn't. We're sorry about that. And they, you know, they get away with this. So we're going to find out exactly what happened. And we'll find out, of course, there's more than four people. We're also taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Chuck is calling from California. Chuck, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay. Just thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say thank you for all the work that you do. You know, you thank you for the facts that you give us. You know, it's always, you know, very informative on the information that you give us. We're able to understand what's really going on in Washington, D.C. And you can't get that nowhere else but through your program. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Chuck, I appreciate you saying that. You know, this broadcast is a big part of what we do at the ACLJ. But as Rick said, we don't just talk about the issues here. We're actually doing things about it. This broadcast is on broadcast over 1,000 radio stations around the country. We're on all the social media platforms as well. It's streamed. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to get it. You see the people here. You see the folks of us on camera, Logan, Jay, Jordan, Harry, CC Hiles on a lot, Rick, Mike, Pompeo. I mean, on and on it goes. But there's a lot of people behind that glass and in the offices to the left of that glass that are working on it to make sure this happens. And none of this happens without your support. So I want to say a huge thank you to those of you that are standing with the ACLJ now. Today and tomorrow are the two most important days for fundraising of the year for us, for the entire year. We will base our 2023 budget in large measure on what happens in the next 48 hours. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't done so, to go to ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge going on. And what that means is any amount you donate, if it's $50, we get another $50. So your $50 really becomes $100 for us. $10 is $20, whatever the amount is. If you're able to do it, I encourage you to do it. You know, obviously, this organization is a lot bigger than a Jay Sekulow or Jordan Sekulow or Harry Hutchinson. There's a lot of people, a lot of them you know, a lot of them you don't know, that are working on issues around the globe. But again, none of this happens without you. And that's where you come in. I want to encourage you, if you haven't done so, to go to ACLJ.org and support the work of the ACLJ and our matching challenge campaign. This is the month where it counts. Let me also say this. If you have supported the work of the ACLJ, thank you. We can't do this without you. We can't deploy lawyers to do Supreme Court cases or handle cases in Colorado or Pakistan or deal with Washington, D.C. without your support. So I want to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org and support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. Your work, your support, you're part of this team. When you support the work of the ACLJ, you are part of our team. I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Mike Pompeo, again, there's another example. We have a cabinet member former Secretary of State, as part of the ACLJ team. That happens because of you. ACLJ.org. He'll be our next one up. We'll be back with more in a moment. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Joining us now is our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Mr. Secretary, as we approach the end of the year, hostilities in the China, Taiwan are high. There was a report this morning that Chinese aircraft were within 20 feet and doing invasive maneuvers of American aircraft. There's also a report that the State Department has approved the sale of anti-tanks to Taiwan, and we're seeing this kind of threat escalation. You've been consistent in being concerned about the whole situation with China. How do you see it right now? Where are we?
Well, first, Happy New Year to you and folks that are listening today. The ACLJ had a great year, did important work. You know, as for China, what I fear is that what we're doing is piecemeal. I think the sale of this equipment to Taiwan makes sense. Taiwanese need this exact type of defensive capability. So I think that's really good. But it appears piecemeal, right? You talked about the threats, the increasing threats. They sailed the ship not too far from Guam. They came within 20 feet, fighter jets, Jay. That's close. Unlikely to be pilot error. I suppose it's possible. They are sending a message about their intentions, and Xi Jinping's made it pretty clear. And so our task is the one that we failed in with respect to Russia. We failed to deter Vladimir Putin. And so as we turn towards 2023, we need to make sure that we're doing all the right things, sending all the right messages to the Chinese Communist Party to deter them from ever thinking it possible that they can threaten America or threaten the people of Taiwan.
Mike, what is the message that should be given from the Secretary of State, your predecessor here, your successor rather, and the president? What message should be sent to the Chinese Communist Party right now? Because they're running the show, obviously. What is the message?
Well, there's two pieces to it. One is, what's the message? The message itself is that we're going to defend the things that matter to the American people, American intellectual property, American workers, Americans who are being spied on through TikTok and on our phones. We're going to protect the homeland from the Chinese Communist Party, and we're going to defend our economic interests throughout the world and throughout the Pacific. The method of communicating that message, Jay, is just as important as the actual message. That message is actually pretty simple. You can't just do it by sending to marches or having meetings and taking pictures. You have to send it by actual concrete actions that demonstrate your willingness to accept a level of risk connected to protecting the things that matter. We did that with Russia for 4 years, Jay. 4 years with the simple things. We made sure we provided defensive weapon systems to Ukraine. We told the Russians, you're not going to drop chemical weapons in Syria. When they did, we actually responded. We acted in a way consistent with the statements we made about American deterrence. And from Reagan through the time of the Trump administrations, we demonstrated that if you do those things, if you do those simple things well, you can prevent these wars from breaking out. And no one needs a war in the Pacific to add on top of the misery that has resulted from the war that's taking place in Europe today.
Yeah, and I want to talk to you about Ukraine. So we're approaching 2023 and literally in 48 hours. Last winter, the Russians made their advances militarily. Ukrainians fought a lot of it off. There seems to be, Harry, you were saying that it looks like, Professor Hutchinson, that Putin may be making a change of strategy.
Yes, I think so. I think Putin initially, when he invaded Ukraine, was trying to keep much of the Ukrainian economy intact and just win on the battlefield. Now he seems bent on destroying the Ukrainian economy, the infrastructure, electricity, yeah, water, you name it. And so I think the Ukrainians face a renewed challenge.
So, Mike, in that regard, how do you see the situation in Ukraine, and what should we be doing there any differently than what we are? I know there's a lot to balance in the situation.
There is, but I think the professor has it right. And the key takeaway from that is Putin was beaten on the battlefield in 2022. He is not likely to remain static. He's not going to say, "Well, goodness gracious, that went badly. Never mind." He is almost certain to continue his effort. He believes deeply that Ukraine is a fundamental part of Russia, and he's going to take whatever actions are necessary. So shutting off Ukrainian energy, he thought he could do it and keep the economy and keep the energy from Ukraine. Turns out that didn't work. He's going to do everything he can now to break the will of the Ukrainian people and continue his onslaught on Europe. I don't think there's any doubt about his intentions. Our mission set is, again, provide the Ukrainians with the tools that they need to continue to defend themselves from whatever the nature of the attack is. I saw now a couple weeks back, we've said we're going to send Patriot missile batteries. We need to get them on the ground as quickly as we can and get the training completed as quickly as we can. We need to actually deliver real deeds that convince Putin that the West is not going to walk away from this. And when we do, Putin will reevaluate and he will have to make very difficult decisions about how to proceed. The Russian people are going to suffer this winter as well, and it presents a complicated problem set for Putin inside, making sure that he continues to maintain the control that at the end is the thing that matters to him the most.
Exactly. 2023, 48 hours away, is going to be a big year for the American Center for Law and Justice. We're going to be announcing some major projects, expansion projects. But I think, Mike, it would be important. I mean, we worked with you when you were Secretary of State. You were so helpful, especially when we were trying to get Christians and others that were imprisoned in these countries released. And I could rattle off a list of them where you were so helpful in getting that resolved. But the ACLJ is increasing its global impact as well, domestically and globally. And I think it'd be good for people to hear from you as, you know, someone that's now worked with us for a while, a year and a half, almost 2 years, really. Of what your assessment of this is and what we and there's going to be challenges in 2023, no doubt.
Let me first, Jay, say thank you to you and Jordan and the whole team. You all do important work for the American people and those of us who believe in the central thesis of America as an exceptional nation founded on the Judeo-Christian tradition. Bless you for that. And to all those folks who are listening who have contributed, given their time, their resources to the ACLJ, bless you for that. Jay, we've known each other since I was a member of Congress. God, yep. What's that now, 10-plus, 12 years ago,
yep.
Where we were, I was a backbench member of Congress, and we were working on religious freedom issues, and then I became Secretary of State, and we worked to free Pastor Brunson and Christians in Nigeria. We worked on problems that's all across the world, and the ACLJ was an important part of that work. We protected the people and the relationship with the United States and Israel, too, when the International Criminal Court was coming after both American soldiers and Israeli soldiers. Really important work that you all did at the ACLJ, and it was as the Secretary of State, it was of a great benefit to me to know that I could pick up the phone, call you, and you could help me think about it, and then we could begin to act in a way that was consistent with America's greatness.
Mike, I appreciate that, and I appreciate your efforts. I want to wish you and your family a great new year, and appreciate your work this year and the last 2 years, and look forward to many more years ahead. Thank you. Folks, it happens because, as the former Secretary of State just said, because of your support. I want to go ahead and take Carol's call out of Colorado on line 4. Carol, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you for all you do, Jay, and your staff. And thank you for telling us the truth, that we can just turn our radios on and say, this is the truth from Jay and the staff. And I get so excited when you you go to court and you're on the television, and we can root for you and pray for you, and we can watch when you're in the court session. And it just blesses our heart, and we're just in our homes praying and shouting for you. Go, thanks. Jay, go, Jay, go, Jay.
So, well, thank Carol. I appreciate that. And it's a lot more than Jay, as we've said. And, you know, you see us, on media, but there's a lot of people. Listen, those four cases I rattled off, we have lawyers that have been with us for decades that have been working on these cases, and they're doing a great job, and they don't stop. And as Mike Pompeo just said, none of this happens without your support. And I just want to thank you for standing with the American Center for Law and Justice. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. I'm going to take Julie's call in California. Julie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. I've been listening to ACLJ for years. What I appreciate about you is your dedication. No matter if it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, here you are working away while the rest of the world is taking off. From the humblest beginnings, trying to help people like Pastor Brunson,
yep,
brought you to the highest leader of the free world. And I love the people you have, Mike Pompeo, Rick Grenell, Harry Hutchinson, all the people you have working with you. And my challenge to other listeners is we are the, you don't have advertisers. You are accountable to us, your listeners. And that's why I love that you asked us for money, because you're accountable to us. And we love giving to you because we're all for the same goal. And God bless you.
Well, Julie, we appreciate that, and thank you so much. And the fact is, folks, and we're going to take more of your calls in the last segment, it's very encouraging to us. I really believe 2023 is going to be a great year. There's a lot of challenges. I don't want to underestimate those. Like I said, we get the Supreme Court grant, our world turns upside down for 3 or 4 months. That's fine. We've been through, as I said, we've been through that rodeo a lot of times since the 1980s. So we know what to do, and we've got the team ready to go. And that team's ready to go because you support the work of the ACLJ. And the next 40 hours are the most important in our entire year financially for the American Center for Law and Justice. And any amount you donate, we're going to get a matching gift for. So I want to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And have your voice added to tens of thousands, hundreds of other thousands of folks around the country supporting the work of the ACLJ. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. So let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And support the work of your American Center for Law and Justice, fighting for freedom. Look, I'm happy that I could say a former president's lawyer also representing folks in Colorado. That's pretty good. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment. Back to the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. We're taking your calls. This is obviously, as I said, folks, we're in the last 40 hours or so of the year. Big concert tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, the Jay Sekulow Band. We celebrate New Year's Eve. And we'll also ask for your support of the ACLJ, and we're in that matching challenge campaign. But let's go right back to the phones. Felicia's on the call. She's on line 3 from New York. Felicia, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, I just want to say that you guys would definitely call for such a time as this. The sacrifices you all make is greatly appreciated. And I want to tell you all that God bless you. Thank you for the information because it's empowering. It's enlightening. And I wish, unfortunately, because I live in the state of New York and my husband and I lost our job over a year ago. But I promise you on religious reasons, on medical reasons, they just would not accept it. But I promise you that as soon as we get jobs, I will be supporting you 100% monetarily. But right now, the only thing I can do for you guys is I'm on my knees.
Yeah, that's
day
not,
in,
Felicia, that's not only when you say that, by the way, that's priority one. Rick Grinnell said that just a couple segments back. The prayers of people of faith that have supported the work of the ACLJ, that is supporting the work of the ACLJ. I mean, I'll give you a specific prayer request. We're going to find out next Friday if a case is being heard by the Supreme Court. I'd like it to be heard. Now, I don't get, it happens what happens. God's in control of it. But I'm not afraid to ask you to pray that it gets granted review. I think it would be a major sea change in the law. But your support, both financially when you can, for people that can. If you can't, and a lot of people can't, your prayer support is very, very important to us. But you also said something interesting, Felicia, and that is straight shooters. And Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy. And I'll tell you something, folks. Before we go on the air, we have serious discussions about what the policy position of the ACLJ will be because that impacts all of you. And that preparation sometimes, it may be 10 minutes of a discussion in our pre-meeting, but it may be 3 days of research before we get there, Harry.
Precisely. And so, Felicia, we sincerely appreciate your prayers. But with respect to Jay's question, one of the things that I think motivates the ACLJ the most is respect for the truth. And we recognize that when we tell the truth, that the truth is not necessarily a defense against individuals who believe a lie, but nonetheless, we are going to persist in telling the truth. And I think that resonates with our listeners, and so we appreciate your support.
No doubt about it. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. This is encouraging to us, too. Let's go to Mary, who's calling from Maryland on line 1. Mary, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, and I thank you for all that you do. Several things that I really appreciate, but I think one of the greatest to me is the way you explain how bills work, because a lot of times I hear things on the radio and the news media, and they're just like headlines or something, and they don't really tell you what's involved. And I think of those cases where Roe versus Wade overcame the abortion deal, and then they started with these bills in different states that were worded so confusedly
yes.
that we couldn't understand what went on. So you help us to understand that and give us some guidance to know what we're supposed to be doing.
Now, I appreciate that, Mary, you know, and that you talk about the life issue. So there's a case I argue in 1992. I actually had to argue it twice. The first time we didn't get a decision, they said re-argue it. My co-counsel on the case was John Roberts. He was then the Deputy Solicitor General of the United States. He's now the Chief Justice of the United States. I mean, his life and my life have intersected on some major, major things over four decades, I will tell you that. And interestingly, in that case, Justice Scalia wrote that opposition to abortion was not class-based animus, not discrimination against women. And that was used then by Justice Alito in the Dobbs opinion to say quite clearly that there was no equal protection clause violation in finding no constitutional right to Roe to abortion because, and he said, as we said in Bray versus Alexandria Women's Health Clinic, opposition to abortion is not discrimination against women. That case I argued in 1992 is cited 30 years later. I mean, I think about that also. I mean, it seems like yesterday that I argued that Bray case. It was 1992. And here we are in 2022, 30 years later. I mean, this is the nature of the practice of law in this kind of context. You've got to be thinking long game here. And I think that's part of the other aspect of this, Harry, is we do take a long view, but short-term success, but long-term ramifications.
I think that's correct. And so one of the things that you should keep in mind, listeners should keep in mind, is that the ACLJ believes in persistence, and it believes in pursuing an objective from a long-term perspective. And so the ACLJ has been engaged in the pro-life fight for over 40 years. And finally, we've seen real fruition with respect to the Dobbs decision. So I think listeners should keep in mind that what is required with respect to all of the fights that we are engaged in is persistence, and that the ACLJ will maintain its persistent approach, favoring the American people, favoring the Constitution, favoring the rule of law from now, hopefully, until eternity.
Yeah, there you go. Richard's calling from California. California, by the way, our most listened to state and some of our biggest supporters are out of California. Richard, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I just want to say that God bless to the ACLJ and the whole crew. You know, I believe God has an agenda, and you guys are part of that agenda. And I just want to say one word will describe exactly how I feel about ACLJ is trust. I trust you guys.
You know, I appreciate you saying that. And we try to earn your trust. And like I said, when we make policy decisions, folks, there's a lot of discussion that's going into it. We talked about on the Title 42, we gave you an honest analysis of the whole immigration border situation because you had Justice Gorsuch doing a dissent. And, you know, we thought, you know, it's what he was saying was not wrong. I mean, it was a temporary fix. I mean, I understand why they're extending it, but these are close questions. We give you real analysis, which comes to this. Today and tomorrow are our two biggest days of the year financially. It's the financial aspect of the ACLJ in the next 40 hours or 38 hours, whatever's left. We're going to have a concert tomorrow night for New Year's at 8 o'clock Eastern time. Logan laughs, that's New Year's for people my age, but a lot of you are. And we appreciate you listening into that. We'll also be to help raise funds for the ACLJ. It's available on Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you get your social media, that's where it'll be broadcasting. We encourage you to do that. And let me also say, your support of the ACLJ right now is critical. We are in that matching challenge campaign. Today and tomorrow are it. I can't come to you on air tomorrow because we're not on air. There's some replays Saturday, but we're not on live. But we are on live today, and I want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. If you're able to do it, folks, first of all, as the caller Felicia said, she's praying for us. They're not in the financial situation. Hey, pray for us. I really appreciate it. Our entire team really appreciates it. That's number one. Number two, if you are able financially to support the work of the ACLJ, and as Rick said, there's a lot of great organizations to support. I'd encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. We are trying, and I think we've been successful in impacting globally justice. Scripture says, justice, justice shall you pursue so you inherit the land. And that's what we've always tried to do at the ACLJ, is pursue justice. So I want to encourage you to support our work. It's the best way to do it is just go to aclj.org, aclj.org, and any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. So if you donate $50, we're getting another $50. Effectively, we get $100. 10 is 20. ACLJ.org. Have a great new year. Make sure you watch the concert tomorrow night. We'll talk to you in 2023.